Big hikes in the minimum wage have dominated recent headlines. Last month, New York State moved a step closer to adopting a $15 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers, following the example of cities like Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Presidential candidate and independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has introduced legislation to raise the federal minimum wage from the current $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour. And Democratic State Representative Melissa Sargent in Wisconsin has introduced a $15 an hour minimum wage bill here. Leading us to today's big question: do you support or oppose raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 5th. As we do every Wednesday at this time, we pick an issue facing the state or nation and find two guests to discuss and debate that issue with you. Today we have Jennifer Epps Addison, the executive director of Wisconsin Jobs Now and a blogger with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Purple Wisconsin Project. She's also an attorney in Milwaukee. She supports a hike in the minimum wage. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being back with us. Also joining us is Chris Reeder, director of Human Resource Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, an association of Wisconsin manufacturers, service businesses, and chambers of commerce, speaking against a $15 an hour minimum wage. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me back on.
It's good to have you back, too. If you have a question or a view on this big question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So let me start with you, Jennifer. Why should Wisconsin, why should the U.S. raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour?
Well, I think there's a very plain answer, which is it's what the people of our state want. I want to remind listeners that back in the last election in 2014, there were 13 advisory questions on the ballot across the state, in jurisdictions across the state, and over 67% of the voters in those jurisdictions stated that they wanted to see a raise in the minimum wage. In addition to that, poll after poll that's come out for our state, including a recent poll on $15 an hour, found that the majority of folks in Wisconsin support raising that minimum wage. The basic principle here, I think, that we're talking about is that people get it. You know, even as employment is increasing, so is poverty. And poverty increased in all 72 counties in Wisconsin. People know that we're working harder than ever before, and yet we can't seem to get ahead. So I think what folks know is that people deserve to get the value of their labor. They deserve to share in the trillions of dollars that their labor produces. And so they want to support a wage that's not just the minimum wage, but it's really a living wage for every hardworking Wisconsinite.
Yeah. So Chris Reeder, Wisconsinites want this and they think it's right. So why not do it?
Well, I think there's two sides of the story of whether or not Wisconsinites want this. And Jennifer is right in the, you know, what the referendum questions, what the results were last year, but that's not indicative of all polls or all public opinion snapshots. We did a poll here at WMC last year where we didn't simply ask, you know, whether or not the people would like higher wages, but we also talked to them about the negative economic consequences of those artificial wage hikes. You know, we talked about, you know, if increase in the minimum wage will result in less jobs and less opportunities for people at the entry-level job market in Wisconsin. And we have studies to back that up, both from the Congressional Budget Office, which found last year that raising the minimum wage would result in about 500,000 jobs lost across the country. And there was a study that was specific to Wisconsin that showed there would be about 27,000 jobs lost here in Wisconsin. And that was only if we raised the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, mind you, not the $15 an hour minimum wage hike that is being sought after this year. If voters, you know, were educated on those facts, and that's what we did in our polling, then the support dropped dramatically, and the majority of people did not support a minimum wage hike, knowing that the negative economic consequences of doing so again, would result in those job losses, would result in people who really depend on those entry-level jobs to gain the soft skills and to gain their entry into the marketplace, that would be hindered. People get it, and people understand that you can't just mandate this upon the people of Wisconsin or nationwide.
So, Jennifer, what about the jobs that could be lost and the loss of support for raising the minimum wage if people know that?
Well, I think there are two red herrings there. First and foremost, 70% of our economy in this country is consumer-driven, and what those studies don't do is they don't take into account the increased consumer spending when people, everyday working people who are making choices right now not to go to the movies, not to get their hair done, not to take their kids and put them in that activity in the local economy, they're making choices not to do that because they haven't seen an increase in their salary, some people in decades, and so therefore they can't afford to. And if you put more money in those average people's pockets, they're going to turn right around and boost up their local economies. And those studies don't take into consideration that additional boost. But I think there's another red herring there, which is the idea that these jobs are entry level. We work with fast food workers, home care workers, child care workers, adjunct professors, security officers and janitors, and all types of people who are in this low-wage service sector economy. These are not entry-level positions that folks are going to have for a couple of years. I think of Miss Mary, who's been working in fast food her entire life. She's an incredible employee, and she's 67 years old. She has contributed so much to this country and to our economy, and yet even in those 20-plus years of working in service industry, food service, she hasn't seen an increase in her paycheck. In fact, working for the last 6 years at Popeyes, she's only seen a 10-cent raise. So I think, we have to understand that we have a new American economy. In Wisconsin, we've been harder hit than almost any other state by the loss of manufacturing. Those jobs are not coming back to the scale that we would love them to. And the reality is that the majority of the jobs being created in our economy, if you go on Wisconsin Jobs, Governor Walker's website, and you look at the jobs, they are low-wage service sector jobs. So it's our responsibility and what the Fight for 15 has done and what these brave workers who have stood up for their rights and for dignity and for a fair share of the profits created by their labor are doing. So they're saying it's our job, just like the manufacturing workers and the garment district workers did at the turn of the century. It's now our job to turn these low-wage, bad jobs, to sort of be blunt about it, into good family-supporting careers. That's what my ancestors did here in Wisconsin in the factories, and that's what the folks that I work with every day are doing now for those service sector jobs that our economy relies on, but it fails to pay fairly.
Yeah, what about that, Chris? All these service sector jobs and people barely scraping by in them?
Sure. Well, first off, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed, I think, to find a majority of jobs at fast food and whatnot. If you go to Culver's, if you go to different fast food places or different retail stores and you apply for a job, you're starting at usually higher than minimum wage right now. You're starting at $8, $9, $10 an hour, and that's because the marketplace sets what the wage base should be, not artificial edicts from Madison or from Washington. So knowing that people are already making higher than what the minimum wage now demands. Then you have to look at what will be the negative consequences, again, of raising the wage even higher than what the marketplace currently demands for those jobs. And if you look at examples in other areas around the country, what you're seeing is jobs lost. You're seeing companies moving outside of municipal boundaries that have passed $15 an hour minimum wages. You're seeing talk of automation being brought in for fast food and things like that. There's a story every other week about whether or not McDonald's or some other fast food chain is going to bring in automated ordering and things like that. There are real negative consequences for the very people that Wisconsin Jobs Now is trying to help if we go ahead with an artificial wage increase. I think it's unfortunate that this debate is consistently focused on how do we simply mandate higher wages, instead of having a discussion where we could all work hand in hand, talking about how do we actually increase, what somebody's, what their demand within the market is. And an example of what I'm talking about is if we look to the apprenticeship program here in Wisconsin. You know, the apprenticeship program is an area that I serve on it. I serve on the Apprenticeship Advisory Council for the state. It's an area where manufacturing, construction, service industries, we all work hand in hand. It's people from the management side, it's people from the organized labor side, it's the technical schools, it's the Department of Public Instruction. You know, we all sit around the table and we try to figure out how do we make apprenticeships work so that people can actually earn life skills. They can earn a good job while they are getting trained and you know, getting training at a good job. These are jobs, you know, that like bricklayers, carpenters, electricians, barbers, cooks, funeral directors, cosmetologists.
We'll get Jennifer Epps Addison to respond to that point after we check news. Chris Reeder is our guest. He is with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and Jennifer Epps Addison is the executive director of Wisconsin Jobs Now, and we're debating raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. This is the Big Question on the Ideas Network. In today's Big Question, we are asking you if you support or oppose raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll, which you'll find on our Facebook page or on wpr.org/joy. We are debating this because it's in the news these days. A group of progressive lawmakers, including Vermont Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, have introduced a bill to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. This is something that the cities of Los Angeles and Seattle and San Francisco have already done. It looks like New York State is moving in a similar direction. A bill has been introduced in Wisconsin to do the same thing here. Do you think it's a good idea or not? We are talking with two guests with different perspectives on today's Big Question, Jennifer Epps Addison, Executive Director of Wisconsin Jobs Now, and Chris Reeder, Director of Human Resource Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Just before news time, Jennifer, Chris Reeder was saying, you know, maybe we should be worried more about getting improving the skills of people who are in minimum wage jobs and helping them get jobs that pay more, like go to some apprenticeship programs and learn how to be welders, for example.
You know, again, the majority of jobs that are being created in this new Wisconsin economy are low-wage service sector jobs, and there aren't enough of the jobs that Chris is talking about for every person to do. But even if there were, you are then saying that child care workers and janitors and security guards and home health care workers, people who provide the most critical services in our communities, are not deserving of a living wage. And I think that that is completely against the values that we have grown to believe in here in Wisconsin. You know, over a century ago, legislators introduced this idea of the Wisconsin Promise, this promise to our communities that the institutions and our government were going to use their authority and use their power to expand opportunities to the greatest number of citizens. And I think, you know, we're at a point where we need to return to those core values of our state. Here's the reality. The reality is that, one, you know, the idea that these companies like Walmart, like Culver's, like The Gap are raising wages in a vacuum or because that's what the market demands is ridiculous. The reason why they're raising those wages is because workers have come out of the shadows of poverty. They've gone out on strike now 8 times, and they've demanded that income inequality be addressed. And some companies like Culver's stepped up as good, responsible corporate citizens and heard that call and voluntarily raised wages. Other companies have done everything they can to squash that movement, including abusing workers' rights. You know, the reality is that people like the Chamber of Commerce and Wisconsin Manufacturing of Chamber of Commerce are actually artificially keeping wages low. They're using millions of dollars, and in some cases hundreds of millions of dollars, in lobbying power, you know, essentially bribing politicians to keep the market low. If the minimum wage had increased at the rate of inflation, it would be over $22 an hour right now. So what we need to do is we need to ensure that companies are no longer being subsidized by taxpayers, that taxpayers are not subsidizing poverty wages, that we are requiring that every single company that wants to hire a worker hires them at a wage that allows them to live independently and not be forced to rely on government assistance. And by the way, when we do this, we actually see unemployment go down. In Seattle, the unemployment rate dropped after the $15 an hour wage was introduced. And the companies that then move out of jurisdictions and away from that, what we're finding is that they're being replaced by companies who want to be good, responsible corporate citizens, like Madison's own Ian's Pizza, which will be opening up in the same location that a pizza place in Seattle closed down in after they didn't want to pay workers fairly. So what we're seeing then is that when we actually hold business accountable and we actually force them to pay their workers fairly rather than rely on public subsidies, that we see it evening out in the market and we see good, responsible corporate actors step up and fill in that gap in the market.
All right. Well, Chris, you respond to that, and then we're going to take, we have lots of callers who want to ask questions too.
Sure. Well, certainly she rattled off a whole host of talking points from the left during that statement. I mean, I'll address just a couple of them. I mean, you know, she talked about keeping wages accused chambers of artificially keeping wages low. It's really an interesting point. If you look at areas around the country where minimum wages have been adopted, minimum wage increases have been adopted. If you look at San Diego, Los Angeles, Seattle, something that those wage hikes have in common is that along with raising the minimum wage, they also included an exemption for unionized workers. So in those cities, if you're a member of the SEIU, you know, you may be out fighting to get $15 an hour minimum wage. But after it actually went into effect, you know, what actually happened is that the unions sought an exemption for themselves so that they don't have to pay their own workers the same wage that they just fought for. Now, if you want to talk about keeping wages artificially low, I think that is, you know, a great example of the hypocrisy of this issue. You know, and it's not only in other areas. If you look here in Wisconsin, if you look at Milwaukee, you know, in the city of Milwaukee, in recent years, they passed a living wage ordinance where contractors get city funds have to provide a living wage of, I think it was $11.33 an hour. And that living wage, you know, lo and behold, it also included an SEIU exemption. So again, you want to talk about keeping wages artificially low. You know, I guess I'd like to hear a response to that as to why, you know, it's
all right, well, very briefly, exemption for unions, Jennifer?
What there's an exemption for is collective bargaining agreements. When workers have a fair and decent shot to bargain across the table with their employers, they can make trade-offs in their salary for things like health insurance benefits or earned sick time or time off with their families. But that happens at a bargaining table where workers actually have a voice and have collective power together. And by the way, across those bargaining tables, what they're negotiating for is a $15 an hour wage. We saw that in L.A., we're seeing it in Kansas City, and we're going to be seeing it here in Wisconsin, as workers are going back to the table with their employers and demanding a $15 an hour wage through their contracting.
Let me take a call. Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. One thing that I don't really understand is what was the formula they used to come up with $15 an hour, and how did they factor that into a national picture? I mean, even Hillary Clinton has said she supports the $15 minimum, just not for everyone. And she goes on to say what you can do in L.A. or New York may not work in other places. So in Seattle, where some of these people got the $15 raise, they were actually asking for less hours because it cuts down on other benefits that they can get. And that's just the way the system works. You can't ignore it. So people who are counting on tips, there was a surcharge put on some of these places of 15%. And they lost their tips, but the people that were working in the background areas that didn't rely on tips, they were still getting the $15. So is that fair?
Yeah, what Jim brought up to our producer, too, that $15 an hour in Los Angeles is not the same as $15 an hour in Shawano, Jennifer Epps Addison. So why $15 an hour?
Well, I think that's a really important point, which is why advocates for a living wage are also saying that we need local control so that lawmakers and legislators who have direct contact with their constituents in Milwaukee are able to determine what the best wage is in Milwaukee, and the same goes for folks who live in Wausau or Waupun. I think, you know, the reality is that $15 an hour is a compromise. It's less than what every worker in this country and in this state should be able to expect when they get up every day, play by the rules, and participate in our American economy. So it was a compromise. And really where it was situated is, what is the wage that we need in order to live independently, to be able to scrape by, certainly not to buy a car elevator for the third time like Mitt Romney does, but to be able to scrape by and not have to rely on public assistance. I think we need a broader conversation about a fundamental reorganization of the American economy. It's why Wisconsin Jobs Now on Saturday launched our plan called the Wisconsin Freedom Compact. And just in a few short days, thousands of everyday Wisconsinites have endorsed the plan, have signed on to it. And it basically does three things. It guarantees a good life and dignity for every single Wisconsinite by making sure that they earn a living wage, that they have protections on the job, that their kids get to go to have a great public education from childcare through college, and that we actually use our revenue and our investments wisely rather than subsidizing the failed Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation that Governor Walker favors, which essentially hands out public money with absolutely no accountability. It says, let's invest in our communities and strengthen our communities, and let's make our tax revenues a priority for building stronger communities. And I think that's why we've seen thousands of people just in a few short days endorse it, because they know that we deserve a Wisconsin that works for everyone. And they realize that these massive, you know, special interest groups like the Chamber of Commerce and other business interest groups are not interested in having a Wisconsin that works for everyone. They're interested in their bottom line and making profits. And we want to make sure that any person who plays by the rules has a real fair shot at the American dream.
Well, let me ask Chris Reeder, is there any role for a minimum wage or any room for raising the minimum wage for Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce?
Well, I think, if you look at what wages right now are across Wisconsin, most people do not make the minimum wage. The marketplace is already answering that question, and you've seen companies like Culver's and Walmart, as Jennifer mentioned, that have already announced that they will raise, you know, they are raising their entry-level wages. That's happening now in the marketplace. There's no need to have, you know, government fiat bring it upon everyone. You know, she talks about compromise in terms of the $15 an hour, getting back to the caller's point. I mean, it was a compromise with everyone, you know, everything except, I would guess, the fundamentals of economics. You can't simply raise the cost of production without expecting negative consequences on the other end, without expecting, you know, the balloon to push out and to have consequences. And again, you know, talking about why was $15 an hour raised or used as the number this year, I mean, frankly, that's a question that I've asked myself, too. You know, it wasn't that long ago that $10.10 was the rallying cry, and now it's $15 an hour as the rallying cry. If you look at Minnesota, you know, Minnesota's recently raised their minimum wage, too. But there, they at least have some understanding of economics in that they have set up their minimum wage so that it impacts companies of different sizes differently. If you're a company that has $500,000 or more in sales, you have one minimum wage. And if you have if you're a company with sales under $500,000, you have a different minimum wage. If you're, you know, of a certain age in Minnesota, you have one minimum wage. And if you're of another age, you have a different minimum wage. And so, you know, I think if you take a look at, again, what to the caller's point, why was $15 an hour chosen? There is no logical reason why $15 an hour is the rallying cry right now. It's a moving target. And the point is that it's not something that is based in economic realities. It doesn't take into account the consequences of that. And I don't think that's the point. I think the whole point here is the SEIU and other groups simply trying to score political, you know, cheap political tricks rather than actually trying to work on raising the wages of Wisconsinites. Because if that was the case, again, we would get back to how do we, you know, increase the training? How do we talk about apprenticeships? How do we bring new, you know, if the programs that or the jobs that, you know, we really need people to have higher wages for aren't in the current apprenticeship program, well, let's talk about that. Let's figure out how to get them into the program. There's currently an effort to bring healthcare and to bring information technology into the apprenticeship program, you know, to make sure that folks in those trades, you know, get the training and get the wages that their jobs demand. So let's have that discussion. Let's not simply talk about, you know, artificially raising something and trying to score political tricks.
Gary in Merrill is going to join us with the next point. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. You one just touched upon it a little bit. The workers do make more than minimum wage now, but it's all subsidized. So it's housing, medical, food. And these big companies like Walmart, they they count on that subsidy to tell their workers, hey, we're not going to pay you a living wage, but here's what you do to make up for it. And I think Walmart has said if they would raise wages to about $15 an hour, it would be 2-3 cents an item.
Yeah, well, let's have Chris Reeder bring that back. So Walmart says it would only cost a couple of cents an item to raise it to $15 an hour. Right now, I think Gary was making the point that while they might make more than the minimum wage, they have to get all sorts of other benefits through social programs to make ends meet.
Sure. I guess I haven't seen the study or the report that items would only cost a couple pennies more. I don't think that's accurate. I'd be surprised if it is. Certainly that's not the case in things that we have seen in terms of the effect on you know, fast food prices or other retail prices. Now, regarding the different programs that are out there from the state and from the federal government, you know, I think that's kind of a different debate. That's a debate on how do we help those folks that aren't able to help either help themselves or who are on bad times. The debate that I think we're trying to have here is, how do we make sure people make a living wage, and how do we make sure that they have the skills needed to get that living wage? And
how about again, I think what he's saying is if they were getting $15 an hour as a minimum wage, they wouldn't be on food stamps, for example.
Well, I guess I haven't seen the studies to show that out, but you know, that's a discussion for another day. I don't think that's the point of just simply raising wages. You know, that certainly isn't a point that the SEIU has ever made or that Jennifer has made in trying to push this issue. They have simply said that it's something that needs to happen because it's you know, in their minds, the right thing to do. You know, I haven't seen the math from them showing that it's offsetting government assistance in another area. That's not what I've seen Jennifer advocating for.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
If I can just respond to that, I'd invite you to check out our website where we have a number of studies, including one that was done here in Wisconsin, that show that just in Wisconsin alone and just in fast food alone, so we're not even talking about all the other low-wage industries, Wisconsin is spending $183 million a year subsidizing the fast food industry, the workers in fast food industries. So I think, you know, here's the reality. There was a study that came out last week by Purdue University, a very reputable Big Ten school, that said that if McDonald's were to raise wages to $15 an hour, it would cost less than a quarter per Big Mac, not every item on the menu, just per Big Mac, in order to, and that's assuming that you pass all of that cost on to the consumer. Now, I think it's important to understand that, you know, when we saw the greatest increase in the middle class, when we created the great middle class in this country, the average CEO to worker compensation was 100-1. In fast food, we are now looking at a compensation package where CEOs are making 1,000 times their average employee. So, you know, there is money within the business model right now, as we see it, to pay workers fairly and to make massive profits. But we need to be clear not to miscategorize what we're saying, because we are absolutely saying that everyday hardworking people who are just scraping by should not be subsidizing the profits of major corporations who are making literally trillions of dollars in profits. We think that those folks should be required to pay people fairly, required to pay them enough so that they don't have to rely on public assistance. And it was one of the first rallying cries that workers here who have now gone on strike 8 times had. In fact, Miss Mary, the woman who works at Popeyes that I referenced before, the first thing she ever said when she was interviewed for the first time, when she spoke publicly about this issue, is she said, "I would gladly trade in my Quest card for a living wage." That is exactly what workers want to do. And let's not, you know, I think the fact that Chris says that, you know, we're conflating issues or that we're talking about two separate things shows how desperately out of touch he is with more than a quarter of Wisconsin's workforce that doesn't make a living wage. Because those folks know that if they're paid fairly, they don't need to rely on public assistance. They know that their labor has value. They haven't fallen on hard times. They are in an economy that privatizes all of the profits and reward and you know, sort of socializes all of the risk so that all of us have to subsidize the profits of these major corporations.
We'll get Chris Reeder to respond to that point after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a minimum wage big question after we check the news. Is a $15 an hour minimum wage a good idea or not? Should we raise the $7.25 current federal minimum wage to $15 an hour? That's today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with two guests with different answers to today's big question. And we will give you an opportunity to sound off after we are through talking with them. Our guests are Chris Reeder, Director of Human Resource Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and Jennifer Epps Addison, the Executive Director of Wisconsin Jobs Now. Just before news time, Jennifer Epps Addison made the point that we could raise the minimum wage and still be have plenty of profits for businesses. Chris Reeder saying that, just like a caller who wanted to make the point who dropped off during a news, that the best way to raise the minimum wage would be to ensure that CEOs were not making more than 20 times what their lowest paid workers are making, saying that there's plenty of profits out there. Businesses can afford to raise the minimum wage. What's your response to that?
Sure. You know, if we want to have a debate in Wisconsin on welfare reform, if we want to have a debate on, you know, whether or not we should have government, I guess, capping profits, what profits should be or what the high end of salaries should be, you know, if we want to talk about any other Bernie Sanders-esque, you know, socialist policies, we can have that debate. And I appreciate Jennifer's, you know, her enthusiasm and you know, how strongly she supports some of those areas. But the issue before us today is a bill by Representative Melissa Sargent out of Madison that would raise the minimum wage over the course of, I think it's 5 years, to $15 an hour. You know, that's the debate that's before us. And if we want to talk about, you know, how, or I guess, alternatives to artificially raising wages and instead helping people simply earn that wage on their own without, you know, mandate, you know, Madison just edict, you know, saying it, making it so. You know, let's talk about how we do that. And we do that by getting into employers that are paying good wages right now, that are paying $15 an hour and more right now, that are having a hard time filling those jobs. I had a call earlier this week with the manufacturer from Central Wisconsin who's looking to expand, who's looking to add about 100 employers or employees. But they're concerned that they're not going to be able to find the workforce in the counties that from which they draw their workers, because there's simply not enough workers there that have the skills to fill those jobs. And so we're trying to work with some economists to figure out whether or not there's available pools of workers in that part of the state, you know, to make that investment of that company to bring 100 jobs to the area, you know, worthwhile, that they could actually find the workers. So let's talk about, you know, there's a need for 100 workers. How do we get people wanting those jobs that are going to pay $20 or more an hour? You know, how do we do that? And we do that through things, again, like the apprenticeship program, where business and labor work hand in hand in developing pathways for people to make good jobs, to get trained, and to really, you know, earn, you know, make a career out of what they do, not just have a job. And that's the discussion that I think we can work together on. You know, Jennifer, I think we can work together on that. If you simply talk about pushing $15 an hour minimum wage, you know, we're going to have this divide, and that's going to remain.
Well, you know, we have to get to our closing arguments right now. Chris Reeder, what about, though, the point that, yeah, maybe it'd be nice to get some people into these higher-paying jobs, but there's always going to be the need for the jobs in the service sector, and those, that's where most of the jobs are that are being created right now. Are you saying that there's just no way that those service sector jobs should be paid more than $7.25 an hour?
I'm saying that they are paid more than that right now. The market has raised their wages to a point, for the most part, higher than that. For the areas where, you know, wage growth and job growth is continued to be needed, you know, let's talk about that. Let's figure out how we get the skill set to those people to get better jobs. If you simply, again, back to fundamental economics, if you simply increase the cost of production, there will be consequences. And those consequences are being borne out in other parts of the state, either by job loss, by automation, you know, by different ways of how do we, you know, not have those entry-level jobs that help high schoolers and others and you know, people learn the soft skills that they need to have throughout their career. You know, raising the minimum wage to a point like $15 an hour or $10.10 an hour will kill jobs. Studies have borne that out, and that is fundamentally a mistake for the Wisconsin economy. That is not a way that we are going to move forward, despite the best, you know, the best wishes. And I have no doubt that the SEIU and Jennifer have all the best intentions here, but it's just misguided when you apply it to the rules of economics.
All right. Your closing argument as Jennifer Epps Addison.
Studies are studies, and you see them on both sides, but the reality is that the places that have raised wages in the country are the fastest-growing economies in the country. The reality is that if Seattle raised its minimum wage, they saw unemployment drop. Here's the basic thing. We have a quarter of Wisconsin's workforce that is making less than a minimum wage. These are folks who are essentially in permanent indentured servitude. I believe in this state. I believe in the workers of the state, and I believe that they deserve more than being indentured servants. I believe that that their hard work, that their labor that contributes to trillions of dollars of profit in this economy, after all of the costs are already accounted for, that trillions of dollars should be distributed fairly and should be distributed in a way so that workers can live independently without being on public assistance. I would invite the listeners to go to the Wisconsin Jobs Now website at wisconsinjobsnow.org and endorse the Freedom Compact. Endorse a compact that demands that our politicians stand up and require that we have economic security, that we have dignity at work, and that, as you know, Chris points out, we believe deeply in the power of education. It's why we fought so hard against the drastic $300 million cut to the UW system and the horrible cuts that our K-12 system has seen in this country. You know, Governor Walker says he wants workers to learn more to earn more, but you can't do that with increasing student loan debt, with decreasing value in our public education system. The Freedom Compact guarantees a quality education from childcare all the way through college for every single Wisconsinite, and we can pay for it. We have the resources right now. Our tax dollars are simply being misappropriated to corporations that WEDEC decides are valuable, more than 60% of them being campaign contributors to the governor, rather than to the people whose taxes actually created that money. So we need to invest in our communities. And finally, I think the main point is this. We, at one point, when my grandmother came here out of sharecropping from the South and came to work in Milwaukee's unionized factories and provided a good life for her son, when my grandfather, who was the youngest of 14, worked on a farm in Wanakee, Wisconsin, worked his way up to become a steel worker and got a good unionized job that allowed him to raise his small German Catholic family of eight and put them into a better life. We can, by the decisions we make together, by the work we do together, provide a dignified life to every single Wisconsinite. But it's going to require action. It's going to require that we hold these bad corporate citizens accountable. It's going to require that we support good, responsible corporate citizens like Culver's, who voluntarily agreed to raise their wages. And it's going to require that we change and get rid of elected officials who are standing in the way and standing on the side of corporate profits rather than building strong communities across the state.
Well, you have to leave it there. We are out of time. I want to thank you both very much for being with us. Jennifer Epps Addison, Executive Director of Wisconsin Jobs Now, and Chris Reeder, the Director of Human Resource Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. We thank them both for being with us to talk about today's big question. Should we raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour? Now you've heard from both of them. What's your answer to today's big question? Time for you to sound off. We give you 30 seconds to sound off. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Diane in Green Bay, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. First of all, Mr. Reeder does not have to be so patronizing to Jennifer.
I need you to answer today's big question, Diane.
Hang on.
Well, I'm sorry that I got to move on. I don't mean to be rude, but the point is you need to sound off on the big question. We have 30 seconds. Mike and Franklin, what's your answer to today's big question?
It raised to $15 an hour over 5 years. Makes a lot of sense. Thanks to a union, I was able to raise my four children decently. And what $15 an hour will mean in 5 years is respect for workers. Workers today are working too hard and too long for no money and no benefits, and it's not right. And it's up to people like me, a retired union person, to stand up for this.
Thank you very much, Mike. Doug on Facebook says, minimum wage jobs were not intended to be jobs in which skill is required. While today's minimum wage is too low, $15 an hour is not necessary. $10 to $12 is fair. We should do something about farm and restaurant wages while we're at it. Matt in Viroqua is next. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Joy. I'm a capitalist. I believe in a free market economy, and I am for a minimum wage increase. The guest that was against the minimum wage increase argued that it would be artificially raising workers' wages, or it would be going against the free market, basically. CEOs' wages have been artificially raised in the last 15 years, way out of proportion to their lowest wage, lowest paid workers. So CEOs' wages are not following free market principles right now either.
Thank you very much. Let's take one more sound off. Jeff in Manitowoc, go ahead. Well, I guess Jeff in Manitowoc isn't ready to go. Kirk on Facebook says, I support it, but why stop at $15 an hour? We need inflation to monetize our debt. Artificially, roughly doubling the minimum wage would do this. The other option is to wait for interest rates to return to their historical average or higher and have massive cuts in government spending to offset the money needed to pay the interest on our debt. All right, Kirk, I think I followed that. You can continue to sound off with our online poll, which is at WPR.org/joy. It's also on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So far, our poll results show that 80% of you are for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. 12% of you are against it. Thanks to Marika Suval and to Christy Taylor and to Elizabeth Delaquest for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.